do more of a class kind of situation where you can make any comments you want to and everything. So let's get with it. We're just going to take up where we stopped last week. If we're talking about John the Baptist, and I ask you, what was the work of John the Baptist? What would you say? Obviously, we understand that that it's found in Matthew chapter 3, but what was the work of John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of Jesus, all right? He was the forerunner of Jesus. Why was John called a Baptist? What's the reason for that? Don't show the answer immediately. Do you know the answer? You can go to our website and do this very same thing I'm doing right now. The questions will come up, the answer. Why was he called a Baptist? Because it was an individual who baptized. What was the message that John preached? He's that voice that is crying out, and he's the message of God. God hadn't said anything for nearly 500 years, and John is there, and he's saying, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where did he preach? In the wilderness of Judea. Somebody's doing real well on knowing all the answers. What kind of clothing did he have? Camel's hair. What did he eat? Locusts and wild honey. And those are things that we've already studied. Why did John baptize? What was the purpose of John's baptism? All right, I heard a few answers. We're not quite as strong as that. Let me ask it again. Maybe put the answer up. That might help. What was the purpose of John's baptism? It was for the remission of sins. Now, here is where the bell rang last week, and that is the impact of John's teaching. What happened when John came preaching? Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 says, do you know the answers to this? Jerusalem, Judea, and regions around the Jordan. Let's go ahead and put that map up so we can have some understanding of it. Here is Jerusalem. So all of these people came out to John. They had to come over here somewhere where the Jordan River was. There is Jerusalem, and here is Judea. Judea would be like a county. Here's a city, and here's the county. If we come way up here north, and there's a reason to do this because we'll not come back to this map, but up here is Galilee, and that's where Jesus was, you see. There is Capernaum, where he did all of his work, and there's Nazareth, where he grew up. But it says they came up from Jerusalem, Judea, and from the regions around the Jordan. John had a tremendous impact on the southern part of Judaism. There were Jews up in Galilee, no, very few Jews. There were no Jews in Samaria. And so that was the two places where the Jews were located. And John had such a profound impact. I don't know about you, but I find it really, really helpful to look at Bible maps and Bible geography. It just gives me another way to attach things and events to the Bible. And that previous slide had Emmaus on it. I don't know if you saw Emmaus. You know the men on the road to Emmaus? How far were they from Jerusalem? If you don't look over there on the Bible map, you don't know how far they had walked or anything that day. Now then, there is no card on the next question, but why did John have this impact? Well, first of all, because God had not said anything for 500 years. But one of the things that God had said was that we've looked at this before, that the closing verses of Malachi said that he was going to come and he was going to be like Elijah. And we've already looked at it at two or three different times. I want to show you another prophecy in the Old Testament, and there's no card on this, but it is really a key card. In Isaiah chapter 40, you have these words. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain shall be leveled. That's what a forerunner did. He came and smoothed the way so the king would be able to come. He did all of that. Now, here's one of those Old Testament prophecies. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for whom? the application is Jesus, but that's not the Old Testament prophets. Prepare the way of the Lord. You got to get this, folks. There's an importance to this. If you look at that word Lord in the Bible, you'll see it is written in all capital letters. What does that indicate? Well, the translators of the King James and the New King James wanted us to be able to understand that here's an Old Testament word that is not fully translated in the King James New King James and other modern translation. It is the word Jehovah. A voice was crying in the wilderness saying, prepare the way because Jehovah is coming. Why is that important? Because there are those, particularly the Jehovah's Witnesses, who do not believe that Jesus is deity. They do not believe He is Jehovah. Yet John the Baptist came saying, prepare the way for Jehovah. Now, did he do it or not? You know, call his name Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means what? God with us. God came in a fleshly body. It's hard for us to grasp that with the magnitude of God and the smallness of our fleshly bodies, though they may seem large to us. Imagine them having to be a habitation for God. God came in a fleshly body. And John the Baptist said, I am preparing the way for Jehovah. And so Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen whom? You know that verse? He's seen the Father. Why? Because I am like my Father. My Father and I are one. You look at me, you will have seen Jehovah. Why? Because I am Jehovah, and John the Baptist came as that individual who was going to be a forerunner of Jesus. And let's get all of that clearly fixed in our minds. But let's go on to the next card, because that is really important. And that is, there is the key location talks about the coming of Jesus. And it is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. I left it blank to see if you can fill in the blanks. Jesus is blank, for John prepared the way for blank. I've given you the answer just now, have I not? When you come to the New Testament, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And comes out of the Greek language, so the word Lord is not capitalized there, but it is in the Old Testament. He is Jehovah. And so whenever you fill in the blanks there, Jesus is Jehovah, for John prepared for the coming for the way of Jehovah. Now that's on the prophet card, in case you're looking at all of these things. In fact, many of these questions, and I tried to put on the screens whether they were on the prophet, priest, or king card. Now then, let's get some new information. Let's talk about the baptism of Jesus. And so we head in a new direction, and we have not asked these questions before. Where, and this is on the King card, where in the Bible, what's the key chapter that says John prepared for the coming of the Lord? Actually, there are two of them. There's Matthew 3 that we've just looked at. But if I tell you that it's somewhere else in the same chapter, in another one of the Gospels, you've got a 33 1/3% chance of guessing. If it's not Matthew, then is it Mark, Luke, or John? And so if you've got your prophet card, or pardon me, if you've got your king card, that is found in Luke chapter 3. Now then, here's on the prophet card. Who baptized Jesus? You don't have to look at that. If I ask you who baptized Jesus, you know who baptized Jesus. What was the purpose of John's baptism? We just had that, but I thought I'd reintroduce it right here. The purpose of John's baptism was for the remission of sins. Who refused to baptize Jesus? John did. Isn't that amazing? He knows he's the Messiah. He knows he's the Lamb of God, and Jesus comes to be baptized of John. You got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 3. Where did Jesus come from? In those days, the Bible says that John came to be baptized, or pardon, Jesus came to John to be baptized. Where did he come from? Have you found that verse? I'm looking for somebody to tell me. Verse what? 15? 13. He came from Galilee. I don't think we have the map ready to put back up there. If you want to go back, if you can find that map number and put it up there, we'll just remember the slide number so we can come back immediately to this place. He came all the way from Galilee, all down this way, probably more likely came down this way, and he came down to where John was. You know how far that is? It's at least 40 miles. Depending on the curvation in the road, you understand what that's like. How far did John come to be baptized? How far did Jesus come to be baptized? How important is baptism? Sometimes you're up preaching and people won't even come 40 feet to be baptized. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, how many miles can you travel in a day? You're not a marathon runner, are you? You can't make it in a couple of hours or 6 hours or whatever, however long it would take you to run 40 miles. I think, normal foot traffic is what, 25, 30 miles a day, something like that. Wouldn't, shaking his head, no, probably not even that much, okay. But it was at least a two-day journey. Jesus might have walked all day long for 2 or 3 days. For what purpose? To be baptized. John refused to baptize Jesus. Isn't that amazing? John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And yet John refused to baptize Jesus. How on earth could that happen? It's the Son of God. It is Emmanuel who has walked 40 miles at least, and he comes to be baptized of John, and John refused to baptize him. And so we've got a question. We have no card on that, but it's obvious. Why did John refuse to baptize Jesus? What was the purpose of John's baptism? Get rid of sins. What is the purpose of John's baptism? To get rid of sin. Jesus came to be baptized of John, and John said, "Hang on a minute. You got it backwards. Who's the sinner on this occasion? Here is Emmanuel, who's walked 40 plus miles to come down to be baptized of a man who is a sinner, John. And John says, I have need to be baptized. Wait a minute. John, why do you need to be baptized? Because I'm a sinner. You've got to understand what the impact of this expression for the remission of sins. It does make a difference why you're baptized. And John understood it. Isn't it amazing that people today say it doesn't make any difference? You can be baptized for any reason on earth and it counts. Sometimes young men will be dating our young ladies or the other way around, and she will say to him, "Well, I'm not going to marry you until you're baptized." Why is he baptized? So he can get a bride. Has he had Bible baptism? No. What's baptism? What's the purpose of baptism? It's for the remission of sins, and John understood that so emphatically that John says, "I will not baptize you because you have no sin." Now, if baptism is for the remission of sins, and a man today has sins, and if baptism today is still for the remission of sins, what must I do in order to have the remission of sins? Isn't that obvious? When John refuses to baptize Jesus. And so Jesus says, okay, King James, suffer it to be so now. let's make an exception right now. Baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. I want you to hear this. There's a difference in being baptized just to fulfill something that the Lord has commanded, to fulfill the righteousness of God, and a man being baptized for the remission of sins. You and I need to understand, we've got to understand the purpose of that. Well, I was baptized because I wanted to be like Jesus. I'm glad you wanted to be like Jesus. I was baptized to announce to the world that I've taken a stand of Jesus, for Jesus. I'm glad that you're not ashamed of the fact that you're trying to stand for Jesus. But there's a difference in being baptized to show to the world. If the reason you're baptized is to show the world that you are the son of, that you are a child of God, that's what some people say. Purpose of baptism is to show you can show that you are a child of God. Wait a minute. Is that the purpose of it? Then when Jesus came to be baptized to announce to the world that I've come, and the purpose of it is to show to the world that I'm a child of God, and John refuses to baptize him, you need to baptize me if the purpose of baptism is to show that I am a child of God. Then John said, I am the child of God, not you. You see how distinctly clear that concept is of the difference between being baptized just because, well, I did because I thought the Lord commanded it. No, it is a baptism. It is a baptism for the remission of sins. And we've really got to understand that. Now, I want to take a few minutes as we deal with the baptism of John, and I don't have that many minutes left, but I want to take a few minutes to show you another biblical illustration that a baptism that is not for the right reason is not really a baptism. How are we going to do that? Because in Acts chapter 19, let's get to this matter of understanding baptism. And I want us to put on the screen the baptism of John and everything that we know about the baptism of John. That's one column. The column that is on your right then is the New Testament baptism that we're calling Jesus' baptism. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there is the baptism of Jesus, and there was the baptism of John. Now, here's a question. Suppose that you have not understood about the baptism of Jesus, and you read the Bible and you said, I'm going to be baptized like John did for the reasons John did. Are you aware? In Acts chapter 19, that very situation arrived. There's a man that was in Ephesus. His name was Apollos, and he only knew the baptism of John. And so when Paul arrives at Ephesus, he finds some disciples who are there. He knows they are believers. He says, have you received the Spirit since you believed? He knows they're believers. He doesn't know everything about them. He knows they've been baptized. Why? Unto what then were you baptized? Why were you baptized? Tell me about the baptism, not the why, but what baptism did you have? And the people there said, we had the baptism of John. And evidently, Apollos is the one, you put that in its context. Evidently, Apollos had just been there, and he had just been there, and he knew only the baptism of John. He was mighty in the Scriptures. And whenever he leaves there, there are some disciples that are left there who are believers, who've been baptized. And yet, Acts chapter 19, verse 5 says they were baptized again. Now then, let's look at the elements that are involved in Bible baptism. The elements are going to appear right over here. They will be found over here in this part when we got the expression New Testament baptism. But first, we want to look at the elements. In what must you be baptized? You know, can you be baptized in rose petals? I heard once of an individual who was, instead of sprinkling water on a baby, took a carnation, I guess, or maybe it took a rose, and when they took the rose, they crumbled it up, or the rosebud, and sprinkled rose petals. Has that child been baptized? No. It's water. Did John baptize in water? When Jesus was baptized, Jesus came up out of the water. Look at that scripture right there. John's element was water. John had water as an element. Ivan, if you'll see, if you make that next slide come up. The element that he had was water. I'm sorry, I'm going the wrong way. There is the element that he has, and then there is the mode of baptism. I don't like to talk about the mode of baptism. There's only one mode. But in our day and age, there are three different ways you can be baptized. In America, you can be baptized by having water sprinkled on you. In America, you can be baptized by having water poured on you. In America, you can be baptized by being immersed. That is an element that is involved in baptism. But we're going to show that in Bible baptism, that was a burial. We'll put the verse up here in just a moment. But Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, we were buried with him in baptism. You know how you bury something? Now, Trevin, if you had a pet dog and your dog died and your mama said, go out there and bury the dog. Tell you, here's what you do. You go out there and get a handful of dirt. And you lay that dog there on the ground and you sprinkle dirt on top of that dog. Did you bury the dog? Would your mama be, well, I'm glad you buried it. No, you know how to bury a dog. Do you know how to bury somebody in baptism? Yeah, I know how to bury somebody in baptism. Now then, put the third element up there, and that is the individual who is going to be baptized, and that is, he is a believer in Jesus. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes. What does he believe? Believing in Jesus. Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And so that is a biblical element for the baptism that we need to have. Now, put the next one up there. And that is the purpose of baptism. It's for the remission of sins. We've emphasized that already in reference to John's baptism. Now then, look at the authority that is involved in baptism. When you come to the New Testament, they were baptized in the name of John. Question, can we put John's baptism up here and see how many of those are exactly like the same? Was John's baptism in water? Yes. Was it a burial in water? Yes. And even the Greek word, baptizo, means immersion. Did John tell individuals about Jesus? Acts chapter 19, verse 4, John taught individuals to believe on Jesus. Jesus had not yet publicly come. He was on his way, but they were told to believe on Jesus. So those individuals who had had John's baptism were believers in Jesus. Were they baptized for the remission of sins? Absolutely. What's wrong? Why were these people baptized a second time? Because John's baptism was not under the authority of Jesus. Jesus did not have all authority until after his resurrection. Where did John get his authority? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And in Luke chapter, is it chapter 7, verse 29, that says, when they refused the baptism of John, they rejected the counsel of God. He was sent from God, but it was not, his baptism was not tied with the authority of Jesus. Now look on the other side, look at the verses in relationship to Christian baptism. Do you see the elements that are involved in New Testament baptism? We've already quoted Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. What about water? Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, these who have received the Holy Spirit the same as we did? They be baptized in water. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says you bury somebody in water, buried in baptism. It is a burial. And Jesus came up out of the water, and the Bible says we are raised, once we've been buried, we are raised to walk in newness, to walk in newness of life. Is the baptism of the New Testament based on believing in Jesus? Absolutely. Is the baptism of Jesus for the remission of sins? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, listen to this, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. That's not an interpretation. That's exactly what the text says. New Testament baptism is in the name of Jesus. I'm doing this because Jesus, Emmanuel, when he came on this earth, brought a new covenant. And that new covenant says, I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so we've got the purpose and we've got the authority. So the question is, can we have John's baptism today? We're on this side. We are on this side of the cross of Jesus. We are stand exactly where those men in Acts chapter 19 stood. Could we be baptized and not need to be baptized again if we've not had the right baptism? Why were those people baptized again? Could we have that baptism today? No is the obvious answer. Why? Because 4 out of 5 is not baptism. There are 5 elements that are involved. Suppose we take away the water. Suppose we take rose petals, and I don't know how we would bury people in rose petals, but they say, I believe in Jesus, and I'm doing this for the remission of sins, and I'm saying I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. What's wrong with that? 4 out of 5 is not enough. You've got to have water to be baptized. Could you be buried? Could an individual have water sprinkled on him who is a believer in Jesus and saying, I'm doing this for the remission of sins and I'm doing it in Jesus' name and I'm doing it in water, but I'm having it sprinkled on me. Is that Bible baptism? No. If 4 out of 5 was not good enough with the baptism that John had brought on this earth, was not enough. You had to have Christian baptism, New Testament baptism, Jesus' baptism. So you've got to have water. You've got to have a burial in water, and you've got to be a believer in Jesus. I remember as a kid, we'd go down to the creek, and we just had baptism during the gospel meeting, and we'd baptize each other. I mean, we'd be standing up here, Grayson. We would be standing in the creek, and we'd just seen people baptize. You need to turn this way. We need to baptize. We'd seen people baptized, and so we'd say, okay, I'm going to baptize you. Well, you don't want to be baptized. You know what I'd do? I'd kick you right there as hard as I could, and down you would go, and I'd baptize you. Okay? That is not Bible baptism. You understand? It is not the baptism of one who has believed in Jesus. And it's not, well, what if I was baptized because I have been saved? That's what I was taught. If you'll just believe in Jesus, baptism has nothing to do with the remission of sins. Folks, John the Baptist and Jesus both understood the purpose of baptism had to be for the remission of sins. And you need to understand that. And so we got to understand that. And so if you've done 4 out of 5 and you said, I've done it in the name of Jesus, but I did it just so the world might know that that I've taken a step. That's not the purpose of baptism. Purpose of baptism is to have your sins washed away. Peggy or Tracy, show me how you wash sins away. What's the sign for washing sins? Okay. Is it this? What's that the sign of? What?
Forgive.
Okay. I thought that was a sign for washing. Okay. I thought it was the same. I think when I learned it, did you double up your fist and do it that way? I like the way Peggy washes her hands. She uses her whole fist to wash away sin. Now, what's the sign of forgiveness? It's the same thing. Deaf people understand it. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. That's the purpose of it. That's the stopping place for tonight. And we'll go in a different direction next week. Thank you very much.